Okay, it is a Friday, and that means it's that is entertainment. We have our regular guests with us in Highland Radio. We have a hierarchy as such in terms of management, and right at the very top of the totem pole is Fionnuala Rabbitt.
Hierarchy of management, I like it.
Well, is that the right phraseology?
No, it absolutely is. I just wouldn't necessarily use it to describe myself or my position, but okay.
Okay, well, you are.
Hello, how are you?
Very good. Now, as well as that, we have a part-time actor, Michael Leddy, on Green on Theatre, the Millennium Forum, the Butthole, that place down in... He's been thrown out of all of them. thank you so much for calling in, Michael. It's a pleasure to have you.
I've been thrown out of everywhere else.
It's a pleasure to have you.
I haven't been barred from Highland yet.
Right, I'm going to put Fool Me Once to bed now, because everyone's watched it except Fionnuala, but I think she has now watched it.
I watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
You ruined my week.
Yes, and what did you think?
I thought I could fully
understand. Go for the jugular.
No, I could fully understand what you were saying.
There
was way too much red herrings. To me, it was a show that could have been done in 2 episodes.
Yes.
There was no need for 8. I was pushing it. It just didn't really have any kind of gel together. I mean, even when it did tie off the red herrings and stuff like that, I was like, oh, why? I just kind of stayed
all
going.
Very, very clever, but for what reason?
Why? Didn't even think it was very, very clever.
Yeah, but
to be honest.
I'm saying that's probably what they thought. You know?
Yeah, I actually love Harlan Coben. I have all his books. This is the only one that I don't have, but I've even read his youth anthology and all that kind of stuff because he gave up writing adult stuff. Like this book is written in 2016. He hasn't written much adult stuff since then because he writes an awful lot of kind of. Teenage.
Young adult.
Shelter. People will see it. It's on Amazon at the moment. It's another one of his. But the book is better than the TV production that they made. There was just way too much going on. And I have to say now, I don't find her believable either.
Who?
Michelle Keegan.
Is this the tough guy stuff?
Yeah.
A few people text in along those lines.
Yeah, I'm sorry now, Michelle. I know. And I know. There's other actresses that have played army people and that kind of thing. But she's just overly glamorous or something. I don't know what it is, but it just was, the whole thing was just completely unbelievable to me.
And that's one thing I disagree with you on. I thought she did come across as tough, you know, but I get it. And lots of people felt the same, but of all the faults and flaws, that wouldn't have been one of them for me.
No, it wasn't the main one. I mean, because she's not a bad actress. No, but I'm saying she's not a bad actress. So it's not that I didn't enjoy her acting. It was more that the problem that I had with the thing was that there was all these threads. And yes, they did tie off all the threads in the end, but they were completely irrelevant. Like, you know, the whole thing, not to spoil it for anybody, but there's one thing in it where it's a detective and his girlfriend is pregnant and you're like, I don't care.
Yeah.
There was you know what I mean? There's another thread going on.
But see, the levels of stuff, right? Plus, it was a bit far-fetched at times. But the levels of stuff, right? So then he has to have something wrong with him. Remember I've talked to you past about this... Michael and Fionnuala, but they just have to put extra stuff in for you to deal with that you don't really. And there
is
there is also a part of the program whereby they go backwards and forwards in the show for people who haven't watched it, and they go forwards at one point, and they've just given up at that stage. You know, they age people with a pair of glasses. I mean, that's just really.
I know.
That just says right.
And it was like,
you know, we've spent all the money on the helicopter scenes, so
100%. And there was people who, when they were in the original time, that you were under the assumption wouldn't survive and wouldn't this, and then all of a sudden they show
you're
up
fantastic.
In the future. You're like, what? Look, there was a lot wrong with it, and I think that's the thing that I didn't. I mean, I watched it all the way to the end because I kept waiting to see where it was going to pay off and where it was whatever. But it wouldn't. There's been much better versions of Harlan Coben's books, and I feel bad for him because I hope he's not selling out now just for the cash, because that would really annoy me. Because I do like his writing; it's very quick, and he has actually a sequence of books which are kind of based on one detective character, and I would love somebody to do Myron Boltaire is the name of his protagonist, and I'd love somebody to do a series They're very much kind of in the Lincoln Lawyer kind of an idea, yeah. You know, that sort of way. This, I just find a little bit farcical. I mean, it even was the whole thing of, like, in the whole thing that just bothered me is, why was she not bringing any of this information to the police?
Didn't you know trust them? Because, you see, I think...
But she had no reason not to trust them.
Well, she does, actually, because the family, the powerful family, she's of the opinion that the police are on the payroll.
I know, but that was like, that wasn't established in the first episode.
Okay.
That was established two or three episodes in.
But she's a hard-nosed soldier who gets things sorted herself, love.
But she wasn't, and she actually wasn't a hard-nosed soldier.
I'm trying to defend this.
I know, because she actually wasn't a hard-nosed soldier in the sense, obviously she was a soldier in that, but she was a pilot. So she wasn't on the ground in hand-to-hand combat, and yet then they translated it like she was on the ground in hand-to-hand combat.
Now, for people who haven't watched it, they are literally maybe 10 suspects.
There's loads of different things.
10 suspects and massive twists and all. I think for me what this is that everybody enjoyed it so much and talked about it so much, it probably was always going to disappoint me a little bit. I was really pleased it was over. And I said, you know, I thought, right, okay, you give us a beginning, a middle, and an end, and that's kind of what I look for.
Yeah.
What is your status on this programme again?
Didn't watch it. I'm not going to watch it. But I would say, as someone who does watch murder mysteries, if you have 10 suspects and you're complaining about the red herrings, but am I not right in thinking you have to give each of those characters a plausible reason where they could be the killer, and then it all, that's why the red herrings exist. Am
no,
I not right?
I think so, but they kind of, you could have done it all in 5 minutes. This is why that person got it, that's why that person got it, this
yeah,
is why.
Yeah, fair enough.
And well, it just is a little
Murder
bit,
She Wrote used to do
clever
it.
Clever for its own.
Murder She Wrote did it in 1 hour every week.
Yeah.
Angela Lansbury's character would arrive in a town, there'd always like five or six suspects. And by the halfway stage, you were like, well, it could have been John, it could have been Fred, it could have been Bill.
But I think you're going to give it a reasonably high number out of 10.
No, they kind of lost me in the first episode. And again, I'm not going to give away the reason, but in the first episode, she has an argument. I mean, an argument.
Mm-hmm.
Like a verbal argument with her nanny.
Yeah.
And her nanny turns around and pepper sprays her.
Yep.
I was like, I'm out.
Really?
I'm out.
Yeah.
At that point, I was like, yeah, I don't understand what's going on with this. This is insane. How did something escalate to this position, to this stage?
And also, too, and this is another problem with the red herrings, it takes a long time to get that sorted out, and it's kind of frustrating.
That was my whole thing with it. I mean, it was watchable if you're kind of, you know what I mean? You don't mind being sort of brought along with a bit of it. I mean, there is a bit of a story to it in that, but... If you want to watch something like that, I would watch one of his other ones, like the Stay Close. There's a couple of other
Stranger,
ones that are on.
Did he not do as well?
He did as well. He's done. There's a few other ones that
felt very much like that to me. This one
that have been adapted, and I think they're better than this one now. I'm sorry to say.
All right, so Fool Me Once, actually, the critics, believe it or not, 67% liked it on Rotten Tomato. The audience score 46%. I thought everyone thought this was the best thing since sliced bread. But anyway, your score...
I would be in around the 46%. Yeah, okay. I would be thinking my gut number would be 4 or 5.
But glad it's over then.
Yeah, and you know, it'll take a while before I forgive you fully for twisting
making
my arm
it.
And making me spend my whole week watching it when I could have been watching Slow Horses, the new series. I still haven't gotten around to that
yet. We're going to get to that a little later on, but I want to start with something on terrestrial TV, After the Flood, which is on ITV.
Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about this, please.
This is a murder mystery show. There are 6 1-hour episodes. I watched all 6 this week. I got very much hooked by it. I was very much looking forward to it because I liked the idea of the premise. And I didn't get around to it last week for various reasons, so I watched all 6 this week. Joanna is the central character in this, and we start off, it's in Yorkshire, small town, reasonably small town, and there's a flash flood. Okay, the title gives that away, no spoilers. And in the aftermath of the flood, after the flood, Greg, see, you're with me, holding.
Yeah,
they find a dead body in an underground parking garage where a man, apparently she's the first on scene, and it looks like he died. He got caught in the elevator when the water came in, and it looks like he was trapped there and the water rose up and he looks to have drowned. But that's the official take. Our heroic PC, she suspects that it might be foul play. Now, she's the main character, as I say, and she is finishing up as a PC and she's about to go into detective training. So she's transitioning into being a detective. And she's also heavily pregnant. So what you have here is one of those heroes who everyone is telling her, you know, take it easy, you're pregnant, and you're only starting training next week. You know, this is none of your business. But she just has this gut instinct, and she idolizes her father, who has passed away. He was a detective. She very much wants to follow in his footsteps, so she starts digging around. And she's one of those heroes, and again, it's a cliche, but she's one of those detective heroes who does some things she's not supposed to do. She breaks the law. She does something with a genealogy thing.
They all do that.
They all do that on TV, yeah. To break, she basically what she does is she puts the DNA of the man, because they don't know who he is. It looks like his ID is gone. They're saying, oh, he's a homeless man. So she doesn't believe any of this, and she tracks down a family member, but she does it in a way that she can't tell her superiors because it's illegal. So you have this hero, and I love heroes like this, who she has all this information, but she can't officially declare it because she'll immediately lose her job. And she's been told, stay at home and don't go on the investigation and do it. Just mind yourself, you're about to give birth. She's very late in her pregnancy. But she keeps digging away and digging away. And I loved it. I really got into it. It plays sometimes a bit like a soap opera, and it looks a bit like an ITV soap opera. And you know, it's shot on videotape, I think, a lot of it. And they clearly, there's only one street that we see flooded a lot. So they obviously had enough of a budget to flood a street. And they keep going back to that street, and they keep doing drone shots of it. And I'm like, if you cut out some of the drone shots, you could look like several different streets, but it's clearly the same street every damn time. But I didn't get, they're the shortcomings. So I thought it was full of twists. I thought the first two episodes were good. The middle two episodes were very good. I thought the last two episodes were brilliant.
Okay.
And I honestly thought the confrontation in the final 15 minutes between the hero and the villain, in the final minutes, I thought it was gripping stuff. Gripping stuff. So I would give it a huge thumbs up. I just loved it. Fanula's not convinced.
No, I think going to after... watch it. I've already downloaded, but I got stuck watching Fool Me Once.
That's what I'm saying. I thought you were a bit burnt by that.
Yeah. That was my face.
Yes,
because I'm like, I'm going to watch it.
But I don't trust Michael's.
If you screwed me over the way Greg screwed so, yeah, me over.
That's it.
I'm not
me and the rest of the nation.
We're all the Christmas cards. No Christmas cards for us next year.
Kathleen on Facebook says, any of the panel watching Criminal Record?
I'm about to start.
We were just talking about it.
Okay.
It's not long on, it's on Apple
Kathleen,
TV.
Tell us what you think of it. If you're watching it, by the way, we want your views as well. So type in there what you think of Criminal Record.
Please, yeah, I'd love to hear from that lady. Peter Capaldi, who played Doctor Who. He and of course he was in other things like the Armando Iannucci show.
Yeah, the...
What's the name of it? Doesn't matter. Peter Capaldi, and I'm told this is really good. I'm told it's full on. I think there's three episodes up there on Apple, and I'm poised to start it next week, as well as series two of Vigil. Can't wait for that. Well, I am obviously waiting because it aired before Christmas.
Okay, so it is...
So, after the flood, yeah, thumbs up from me.
Oh, yeah, so what would you give that out of 10?
Oh, I'm giving it a solid 9 at least. I just loved it. And again, I'm not saying it's perfect, and there are red herrings, guys. There are red herrings, and there are cliches, you know, but I thought it was just great, and I was really surprised by the revelations in the last two episodes, which I have to say... I've seen a fair few murder mysteries. I don't consider myself that great a detective, but I was like, okay, you surprised me. Well done.
All right. And looking at a bit of footage from Criminal Record, it looks good.
Well, he's brilliant, Peter Capaldi.
He is.
What is the name of that program? You know, it was like the modern day Yes Minister.
It was the UK's, Veep was based on it. The American show Veep, which Amanda and Inuchi. It was.
It was like a Yes Minister.
It is, yes, yeah. It's
done,
about the
yeah.
British.
He was brilliant in it. His language was horrendous.
Horrendous, yeah. Malcolm Tucker, was that his name? I can remember the name of the character. I remember everything about the show except the name of the show.
Well, there you go. Okay, listen, thank you very much indeed. We'll have more from Michael and Fanula. Did you watch Fool Me Once? What did you think? Have you been watching after the flood? Tell us what you think.
I think it's Wednesday night.
60-25,000. Or indeed, we're also going to be talking about Slow Horses, True Detective, and so much more besides. So whatever you're watching, whatever you want to talk about, get in touch with us. 086-6025,000 or call 07491-25,000. Back with more after the break. Kathleen's back to us. Brilliant so far. Stars Cush Jumbo, who played Luca Quinn in The Good Wife. Okay, so thank you very much for that. Right, let's have a little listen to this.
The Night Country takes us one by one.
What happened the last case you worked with Navarro?
That was good.
That's the voice of Jodie Foster, and you're listening to the trailer for True Detective. It's on Sky every Wednesday. Has it begun yet, Fionnuala?
Yeah, it has. It just started this week. The first episode dropped, as they say. I know.
No, I'm not taking her on.
I know. It's a terrible word. But also, the other side of this is I wish they'd kind of brought given you two, because it's very hard to establish the whole kind of premise of what's going on with it. Now, I watched True Detective, you know, Cards on the Table. I watched the first one, and then I got halfway through the second one, and I gave it up. It was a bad job. And I never went back to it again, and I'm told that that the third one kind of improved again. So I'm looking at this as being completely different and not really connected to that series.
So why does it have to be under the True Detective umbrella then, rather than... Are they trading on it? Or?
I think so.
Because it's in a completely different world and completely different characters and stuff,
Am I right in thinking, I don't think the creatives or even like the director... There was a whole shuffling of people behind the scenes, so at this stage it's a very tenuous connection to season one.
I don't see what the connection could be entirely for myself from having to see it. This is set in Alaska. It's set during that period, which, to be honest, I don't know a lot about Alaska, but you know, where they have like all darkness, you know, where they kind of have 24-hour darkness, and then they go to another stage then where they have 24-hour daylight. So this is like the darkness, so it's last night was not a good night to be watching it, because I was freezing as it was, and then I was watching this and I was like, oh God, I'm perished. So it's set up in kind of the Antarctic. She is the captain. Jodie Foster is the captain of this small, the Alaskan police force, whatever it is in this area. And there is a research facility. And really that's where it starts off, is that they're called to this research facility because they're trying to find what happened to the people in the facility. They've just all disappeared. And that's basically where the whole story starts off. Ooh. Now, there's going to be a lot of kind of side stories in it, which is going to be connected to Native Alaskans, which kind of I'm a bit concerned about, because that seems to be becoming a bit of a trope with some of these shows, that they're not necessarily doing a good job with them, but they keep doing it. You know, the death of Native women, in such as in Alaska, such as in, you know, Native Americans. And we've had a couple of shows like that have come on in different ways. They have them in Canada as well and all that kind of thing. So I'm interested to see where that's going to go. It's very early on. It's very cold.
I think there's a lot of pushback if you do a story in a particular area or about a particular group of people, and you don't either employ a lot of people if it's of a certain population, indigenous or whatever, and also if you don't recognise the history or what they went through. And I think that's what they're sort of leveraging into a lot of these shows, if I'm reading what you're saying correctly.
My concern with it is that there are some huge genuine stories, and there's been some mass, like obviously genuine historical issues with a lot of different communities across the world, mine whatever. But sometimes I find with some of these things is that they're just doing it for the sake of ticking
100%
the box.
Oh, 100%.
And that's
what
I don't like. If you're going to do, if you're going to be discussing it, you know what I mean, discussing historical issues and even issues that are continuing on, because from what I've read and things like that, there seems to be in a lot of places Indigenous people are, you know, and particularly women, seem to be very badly treated. Doesn't seem to be good investigations into a lot of the crimes. You know, we've seen a couple of true crime things that have come up along the way. But that's why I'm just saying I'm concerned about this, whether it's a little bit box ticking.
But if you think, if you can imagine,
and see where it goes.
Fionnuala, what's happening is they're sitting in a room, right? They've got a script or what have you, and they're saying, you know, will this group kick up a storm on X? Will that group kick up a storm on X? Are we going to get cancelled? Are we going to pump, you know, 30 million into this and then have to pull it after two episodes? And just the way the world is now, that everybody's angry about something all of the time, I think we're going to see more of this.
And that's what what I don't like when you see things dropped into shows. It's like you're watching a program and it's all going fine, and not anything wrong with being homosexual, but all of a sudden then they just drop in that, you know, this some periphery character is a homosexual.
It adds,
and you're like,
zero to the storyline or the character.
It's literally just, or the character, or fleshing out the character or anything like that. It's just,
but you can say we had a gay character in the program.
Tick that box.
Yeah, I get what you're,
and that's what
from.
I don't like about it. And that's, I would be a little bit concerned about this with that. I mean, this has already kicked up some controversy apparently online, because some people were giving out now that True Detective has got two women as the detectives.
Well, I wouldn't worry too much about
so
that.
It's like there's always somebody that's giving out about something.
Yeah. You know, I have sisters, mothers, grannies. You know,
I know.
I am not worried about women being in positions of authority or. You know what I'm on
about?
I know about?
It's
like,
a strange
don't
thing for people to care about. Like,
don't find it.
Surely it doesn't matter as long as they're, as long as the characters are well fleshed.
Yeah, Jodie Foster
is a multi award winning character who herself, in one of the many people's best films ever, played a female detective fighting against. If you might remember in Tales of the Unexpected, don't know where that comes from. But if you remember in Silence of the Lambs. She's brought into a room with loads of fellas and the fellas are looking at her going, what's a woman doing in here?
Yeah.
That's probably 30, I don't know
it
how long ago, it was 30 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah,
and now in 2024, when people are supposed to have sort of matured a little bit, some people take offence that there's two women in a lead role.
She must really be knocking her head
against
the wall.
So we're actually going backwards.
I know, in fairness.
So no one said in Silence of the Lambs, oh, as if a little diminutive person out of... at a training camp could all of a sudden catch a serial killer.
I know.
Do you know?
It is a strange one. But given that, the other thing I'm a bit concerned about this is she may be too good.
As an actress?
Yeah.
Actor? I mean,
at the moment, she stands out. Like, and again, I've only watched the first one. I'm definitely into it. There's six episodes in it. It has me. It's a little bit different to the, as I said, I've only watched the original True Detective. This one seems that it's going to have kind of a sci-fi sort of a feel to it. There's definitely that kind of this is a strange town with strange goings on. And
I saw some imagery in the trailer of characters that doesn't look like anything I've ever seen a human look like. I'm not saying it's aliens, but when you talked about research facilities, it's starting to worry me.
Yeah, are they going into Fargo? You know how Fargo has that element of ghostly, or they've had aliens and they've had ghosts? Is it going that route?
I forgot about the aliens in Fargo. No, I don't think it's going to be aliens, because in fairness, the people doing the research facility seems to be like a climate and all this kind of thing, and they're doing boreholes into... you know,
ice.
Into the ice and getting all that kind of information. But like, if this thing turns
around... dug something up?
If this thing turns around to be some kind of like, exactly, look crazed, you know, polar bear in the end of it, I'm going to be like, oh.
No, like an ancient caveman type thing.
Well, that could maybe, but it has that kind of a feeling that sometimes you get from some of that. And to be honest, I've never watched anything that was based in Alaska.
It's
a bit quirky along the way.
I opened up... So what would you give it? What is it? Out of 10? It's
very
Doors.
It's very I definitely think people should check it out. She's amazing in it. I think even straight off the bat, you're just
she's
like...
She's an amazing actress.
And it's interesting for me, even, I want to watch the whole way through, is just see... She hasn't really done much in recent years.
No.
Like, she hasn't done a lot since, you know what I mean, going back even to like 2008, 2009, which is a huge length of time. And I'd love to, what drew her to this?
Yeah.
Because that's always a question I wonder.
This might sound really, really stupid, but I opened up Disney Plus there last night. Mm-hmm. And across, I scroll down and look for things to watch, and I find it really, really awkward. But at the top, and I say everyone probably knows this already, but at the top, it's got like Disney... And then it's got different categories along the top of, you know, star is there. So you flick across and then down. I've always just gone flicking straight down. And the reason I'm saying it, because there's anyone else that's like me. It's got a National Geographics tab, which is all National Geographical stuff. It's got your...
Star is all dramas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. I didn't know you could scroll across the top and then... There was submenus under the different categories. Do you know, both of you knew that, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I knew that, Disney
that's not on my Fire Stick.
He doesn't
saying.
He doesn't have to. He's trying to pretend he actually plays.
But I know they have
Disney.
Different sets, yeah.
Disney owns quite a few channels,
I just
so that's part of the thing.
Never knew that you could go over to National Geographic and there's programs about fixing cars up and stuff.
Well, it's just everything is available on it, but it just makes it easier for you to scroll.
If anyone,
if you know about it.
If I've just changed anyone's world, please let me know. 086. I doubt I have. I probably am the only person that didn't realise that. 086 60 25,000. Right. Okay. So far, Michael's loved After the Flood, which is on ITV. Fanula is quite peed off that we made her watch Fool Me Once. True Detective. Too early to say. And we'll get more from both of our guests. And we'll have guests joining us too remotely after we take a quick break. Kathleen back to say, Night Country reminds me of Fortitude. Now, I'm disadvantaged in I don't either know Night Country nor Fortitude.
Oh, Night Country is
Night
True
Country
Detective.
Is the True Detective. Ah, that's what it's called.
Thanks, Kathleen. You're ahead of me. Sorry about that. Okay.
But I remember, yeah,
I have to look up Fortitude in the break because I think I have watched it. But I, don't.
I didn't watch it, but I always
right, okay.
To.
And just to remind you and invite you, and it's been record figures over the last week or so. It's really, really appreciated that you can watch us as well every single morning here in the 9 till noon show on your smart TV, the YouTube app pre-installed. You can throw us up there on the telly or on your Fire Stick if you have it for nefarious reasons, for whatever it might be. Lots of people have Fire Sticks.
For nefarious reasons?
What's this word nefarious mean?
Well, it means
wrong.
Yeah, like criminal. Are they using it? Are they using them as like weapons? Are they throwing them around? Or
so it kind of, it's all right. It fits, does it? For some people.
Well, possibly.
Or your Google TV, which is great.
It may itself be nefarious, but the purposes for which people have it are probably just to watch TV.
Of course.
Yeah. So. But as nefarious purposes, I just have you flinging it at hitting people on the back of the head.
And we're on Facebook, Highland Hub, Highland News and Sport. He's throwing pretendy fire sticks at me. I have to take a break. Right, now, coming up in the Baller on January 27th is a show called, I believe, Murder in the Baller. Rory Farrell of this parish, of course, and of the boardwalks or whatever you call the wood on the stage is with us. Good morning, Rory.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
I am good. Right, so it's a murder mystery. Is it called Murder in the Baller? And it's coming up later this month.
Yeah, so Murder in the Baller, yeah, it's a book drama circle production, and it is taking to the stage. It's actually going this day week. It's going to be staged in B&S Golf Club, Ballet Defence Northern Golf Club. Mary McHugh, last year's lady captain, she is running it as a fundraiser for the golf club. And then on Saturday the 27th, we move over the bridge into Ballet Buffet. And we're putting the show on then in the Baller Theatre, yeah.
And it's a different type of a show, isn't it, Rory? It's talk to us about what the audience can expect.
It is. So it's something different, okay? So if you fancy yourself as a bit of a sleuth, if you're a fan of murder mysteries on the TV, or if you're just looking for something different and with a little bit of interaction, this is definitely a show for you. So basically what happens in the show, I play a director, a suitably obnoxious director. I know, shock horror. And basically what I'm doing is I'm trying to get a group of amateur actors, I'm trying to get the best out of them to put on a show. And at some point through the show, shock horror, somebody dies, somebody is killed. So everybody on that stage has a motive of some description, and it's up to the audience as the show goes on to try and figure out who is responsible for the murder.
And the little clues obviously being dropped along the way, and ultimately all is revealed, is it, at the end, and then people can determine whether they were right or wrong, or what way does that work?
Basically, that's it. Yeah, so the show is split up into three acts, okay? So we have the first act where, you know, everything is sort of teed up and you get to know the various characters that are on the stage and the whole thing sort of plays out. The second act then is really where everything is sort of drilled down into, and that's where the audience really need to be watching and keeping track of, you know, who was where on the stage at the time of the murder, who might have had a motive, who definitely had a motive. And then obviously we'll break then for the audience to deliberate amongst themselves and put their heads together, put their notes together. And then at the end, all is revealed in the final act. And then the audience can tell whether they were right or wrong.
Brilliant stuff. It's Murder in the Baller. It's January the 27th, so it's tomorrow week, isn't that correct?
Tomorrow week in the Baller, yeah. So this day week, we're going to Ballet Buffet and Stranorda Golf Club. That's been done as a fundraiser. Mm-hmm. And then we move over then to the Baller Theatre then on the 27th.
Okay, Baller.
And that's just...
Go ahead, yeah.
That's just... Yeah, that's just some of what's coming up from the book drama circle. I mean, we have a really busy calendar ahead now over sort of the first quarter of this year. So this is just the first outing for us. Our choir, the Baller Songbook Choir, they're taking to the stage in February with their songs from the movie show. Tickets are almost sold out for that. So if you haven't got your tickets, get them as soon as possible. And then I'm directing a comedy at the end of March, Girls Weekend. So that's coming up as well, and that's going to be lots of fun.
All right, good
so,
stuff.
So we have a jam-packed schedule, yeah, coming
brilliant.
Up.
Brilliant. And it's all available on the ballotartcentre.com. You can check it out there. Thanks very much indeed, Rory. Have a wonderful day. Rory on air with you tomorrow as well from 10. Hi all, watch the first episode of the new True Detective, Night Country. Hooked after one episode. Good to see Jodie Foster back on the screen again. So they got that person in nice and early. Another, all this silly superheroine portrayal on TV and films are far-fetched and feeding into the feminist myth that women are equal to men physically in strength and speed. Sadly, they aren't, as proven by 99% of world records. This is feeding into a false narrative, sadly, and leaving women open to abuse, as young men are also believing it and sadly contributing to violence against women and men. Yes, an expert female boxer or martial arts expert will defeat an average man, but not an equally trained or skilled male, as strength and speed are going to be the decisive factors. Now, I appreciate that person's point of view, but I just don't have the brain space to to mull that over even.
I know, but I think...
It's TV and film, like, you know.
Well, yeah, that's, first of all, yeah, they're fictional characters. But second of all, I mean, I think that if a woman from the army came in and tried to beat up you or Michael, that she'd probably succeed.
Yeah.
Because now, would she
succeed?
Tell
me more about this woman who's going to come in and beat me up.
Would she succeed against a man from the army? That's debatable. They were both trained in equally, say, would she have the same physical strength? That's debatable. But in these shows, they're not pitted against, you know, gym bunnies or, you know what I mean? They're pitted against your average Joe. That, I mean, that's the least thing.
Like, why is no one saying about Liam Neeson, who's a really old man?
I know.
Beating up young fellas.
I know. Yeah. Well, Sean Connery swam.
I don't believe,
in
by the way,
Rock. Yeah, when he was in his 70s.
I know, but when I refer to him as an old man, I don't mean it in any way negative.
Yeah.
But no one's going, come on.
Yeah.
This guy pushing 70, beating up 25-year-olds and hunting them down and uses special skills.
I always say, well, if you ever see the movie The Rock, it's in my top five.
Yeah, of course.
Sean Connery supposedly swam off The Rock and he was in his mid-70s. I'm like, he definitely did it.
Maybe he had a life ring, I don't know. But I know that. But my point is that, like, if you wanted to sort of point out things like that and you didn't have an issue maybe with one gender being elevated over another in certain circumstances, then you would also be angry with other things like that as well. But again, look, we all have our different views and everyone is perfectly entitled to them. Slow Horses on Apple.
Slow Horses, yeah. I review and rate everything I watch. I rate everything on my blog. And last year, I got to say, there was five perfect shows. There was five 10 out of 10 shows when I averaged everything out. And one of those shows was Slow Horses. I cannot praise this show enough. I'm watching the second season at the moment. I'm watching another episode tonight. It is superb. Now, you're saying the latest episodes of Vanilla are not getting the same response from critics. I don't know about those, but I can say that when it comes to espionage, when it comes to twists, when it comes to turns, it comes to characters that you love getting killed off, it reminds me so much of 24 in all the best ways. It doesn't have that urgency of 24 because it doesn't use the real-time format. Although season one had a, it's all through the same night kind of vibe, and they had sort of 6 hours to kind of save the guy who'd been kidnapped. Season two is very different. Season two finds River, the heroic, cliched heroic character, undercover in the country trying to figure out if there are sleeper agents. Meanwhile, his boss, Gary Oldman, the fantastic leader of this group of reject agents that nobody wants to work with, and he hates them, and he hates himself, and he hates his life, he hates everything. But at the same time, when in the opening moments of that season two opener, when somebody he knew years ago is murdered, well, they die and no one else thinks it's a murder, but he's like, okay, this is a murder. Mm-hmm. And he goes digging into it. He's just amazing. I mean, he makes the show.
I couldn't get into this, you know.
The second season, or any of it?
Right from the beginning, I think, when he's sort of establishing this unit, because you were raving about it at that time. And I'm going to have to try again, but I couldn't. I just couldn't get into it.
Maybe you just need to be in the mood for it.
Do you like Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy?
I watched it. I can't honestly. I think I did enjoy it, yeah.
It's very in that kind of a feeling about it. It's very.
It is.
There's even though it's set in modern day and everything is very modern in it, there's kind of that sort of a Britishness, you know, like very Britishness MI5 kind of an idea.
And I love the way they deal with espionage in this. And there's a scene midway through the second season and the two main characters, Lamb and River, they're sitting in a car in the countryside, and it's a bright sunny day. There's nobody around them, and they're documenting the clues they've got. You know, this guy, right? And he had the false name. He did this, and that. And they've done some really clever detective work. And then Lamb is like, "Yeah, but is this a little bit too easy?
Yeah,
are they late?" And then they start talking about. He's like, "Could it be a trap?" And it's a there's real palpable tension, but there's nobody around them, and you're like, "Oh, this is gripping stuff." It's just two guys sitting in a parked car on a sunny day, but they're suddenly thinking, are we in the middle of an elaborate web of, you know, duplicity and lies? And I'm like, oh man, if I had popcorn, I'd be all over it. Okay. This is, to me, it's up there with The Bear. It's up there with the best shows I'm watching at the moment. A lot of it is the performances. And the kill off, God, the killed off, the two of the team have died so far. This second season.
Well, you had your fingers in the ears when we were just talking about flash forward stuff. So you can.
But it's heartbreaking
right
when characters you like get killed.
I know that,
off.
Yeah. But yeah, okay. So.
For me, anyway, it's 10 out of 10.
Have you started season 3 yet?
No, I'm finishing. I have 2 episodes left of season 2.
Okay.
And then I'm into season 3. And I would just rave about this show to anyone who'd listen. It's on Apple. It's fantastic.
Okay.
Just fantastic.
Stuff. Slow Horse is 10 out of 10. You've already said that.
Really,
the jury's out simply because the jury hasn't watched. Season 3. Are you a fan of Slow Horses? 0868 60 25,000. You've watched none of this, Fionnuala, yet?
Yeah, no, I have. I've watched season 1 and Michael's very late to the game.
Yes.
No, I watched season 1, season 2. It's absolutely brilliant. I loved it. The third season, a lot of people might have watched it now because it came out over the Christmas. But I was... in a house in which darts was the main thing over the Christmas, and now ask me anything about darts. Ask me anything. Okay. I know. By the end of the Christmas and into the new year, I was actually explaining the darts to my son-in-law, who had forced me to watch it. So I'm big into darts now. It's my thing. But so I didn't get a chance to watch it.
Part of the Luke Littler fan club.
Oh, I've a costume ready for next year. It's all happening.
It's supposed to be an amazing night out. I've looked at tickets before because it comes to Dublin as part of the Premier League and Belfast, both sold out like a year in advance.
Oh, wow.
It sells out. And the place, you've got 5,000 people watching darts, having the night of their lives. Like, it's supposed to be an amazing night.
I don't know if they can even see the darts because it's like.
They've got big screens everywhere.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. You might as well be at home with a pint. But
the atmosphere.
Be that as it may.
It is crazy, yeah.
It is unbelievable how they've marketed it and created it into this.
It
just started to be a thing at Christmas whereby you did go on fancy dress. And then it sort of turned out that everyone was having so much fun that if you didn't dress up in fancy dress, then you weren't.
Yeah,
having the crack.
I mean,
probably a lot of stag parties at it as well.
Pass out because I mean, some of the fancy dress is elaborate, and you're like with the heat. You'd imagine the heat in the room and the whole thing. In fairness, and it was exciting. I did get very into it towards the end, and I was like, oh, I have a problem.
Because it's great drama, you see, and that, all good sports got good drama, and it can turn on a whim, and you get story, you get to know the characters.
I used to watch it regularly back in the 80s when I was a teenager. Snooker and darts. I watched a lot of them because, as you said. Drama, tension. You were like.
Did you ever see the old footage of them playing darts, though? Like with cigarettes in their hands and mouths and stuff. Like, it's unbelievable.
Oh, I know. But it's so popular on it, and there's so many people watching it. On, why hasn't Bullseye come back?
Bullseye is coming back.
Why hasn't Bullseye come back?
That was a great show. That was a great show.
Who is going to present it again? It is coming back. It's probably going to be...
Because the guy that does this... The
fella does the chase, Bradley Walsh. He's retired.
I know, but he could totally do Bullseye.
Oh, he'll end up doing
that. It wouldn't be stressful on him at all.
Gladiators is back.
Oh, is it? Oh, God.
No. Black on BBC One.
Oh, I'm not sure if I'm up for that. I also ended up having to watch some of Ireland's Fittest Family. Dear God, why? People need to realise we have couches now and we have TVs, people. Don't do it. Don't do it. They were hanging off stuff and dropping into water, and I was like,
"This is not the attitude." That's not. That's, by the way, can I just distance myself from that public health advice from the owner of Highland Ready? Well, not the owner.
It was exhausting watching them. In fairness,
they
like,
do
oh
it, so
God.
You don't have to.
I will.
So Bullseye's coming back, but who's? I tell you, you know who's? There's about 3 presenters over there. It is the guy that did the Deal or No Deal comeback. What's that guy's on that index show? Can't remember his name. He's doing Bullseye. Bullseye's coming back with him. I'm almost 100% sure.
Wow.
Do you know the guy that he does Butlins as well? He's a bit of a magician comedian. Okay.
Not that Bradley. Like,
no, Bradley's too busy doing absolutely everything else.
I know.
So this is
fairness.
The only
Bradley.
Bradley is, by the way, the host of the new Gladiators. believe it or not, Bradley Wolfe. Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm not surprised at that. He is, as when you is say, doing everything back? Else.
Can I have a pee, please, Bob? All right, then we'll be back with more after these. So we've stuck out so much false information here. So Bullseye is returning. It's coming back after 29 years with your host, Paddy McGuinness. Now, he hasn't been confirmed, but Paddy McGuinness might be hosting it. The other guy, Stephen Mulhern.
Yeah, he does Catchphrase.
He does Catchphrase, but he did also the New Deal or No Deal. But also, really quickly, I was wondering with the New Deal or No Deal, the part I didn't like about it is this sense, this sort of almost like a spirituality to it. You know, like I sense number three or number, you know, all this.
Really?
And, it all returned in the new series, and it turned me off.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I haven't watched it.
Geraldine Moody is producer of Carn Drama Club's The Two Loves of Gabriel Foley. Good morning to you, Geraldine.
Hi, Greg. How are you doing? It's Mooney, not Moody. I probably am quite moody, though, but it's Mooney.
I can't take responsibility for that. I'm going to blame either Caroline or Shannon. Geraldine Mooney, it's lovely to speak to you, okay? The Two Lives of Gabriel Foley. It's on Saturday, the 20th of January, which is tomorrow. You've already had a number of performances and going down really well with the audiences, I'm told.
Yes, we've had three performances last weekend, and we had packed houses every night. And just listening to the laughing was good for the soul. It was just lovely. Everybody really enjoyed it, and we've had great feedback. So we're putting it on again tomorrow night now for a local charity, the Friends of Inishowen Hospice, which is based in Carndonagh. And it's a great play, and we hope to have a good crowd tomorrow night. Please God, the snow will be all gone at that stage.
It will be indeed. And where is it taking place? I don't have it here in front of me.
Yeah, it's taking place in the Colgan Hall in Carndonagh at 8 o'clock. I'll just tell you a little bit about it. The play is about a middle-aged bachelor farmer who is living with his mother, Aggie, and he hasn't had much luck with women so far, but now there are two women after him. He has joined a posh drama group to meet Hazel Myers, who is also after his farm, but he's also unaware that Chrissy McCabe, who helps his mother, has had her eye on him for some time. His friend, local farmer Liam Gavigan, gives plenty of unwanted advice, and he confuses things at times. Aunt Lucy then is Aggie's sister, and she always seems to arrive at the wrong time and create some havoc on the stage. There are two other characters in the play, Maurice Delamere, the sensitive director of the posh drama group, and Clive Snell, who is a self-absorbed member of that drama group. We have old and new members in the club, and it's going really well, and looking forward to tomorrow night again.
Yeah, and it's a really, really good show. People will enjoy it, and loads of laughs and what have you. It's on tomorrow night. It's a great night out. The snow will be well cleared at that stage. It's actually going to be quite mild. And all monies raised goes to Friends of Inishowen Hospice. And this is the Drama Club's final performance of this play as well. So there's loads of reasons that people should go along. Fair play. Thank you so much, Geraldine Mooney.
And thank you for having us. Take care.
Bye-bye. Salaam. All right, Geraldine there. We're still in the company of Michael and Fionnuala. It's actually supposed to be Paddy McGuinness, said to be the new host of Bullseye's comeback. Thank you very much. Stephen Mulhern, Greg, you're spot on texter. Hi, I paid big money to meet and greet Phil Taylor one time. He was so ignorant and was so disappointed. Phil Taylor is arrogant. He's arrogant on
that's
the
hockey. That's the guy that won it 16 times.
Yeah, he's out. God, you really have been.
I'm telling you now. I was all over it. Like,
I was watching The Darks at Christmas, and Aaron was sitting beside me, and it's just amazing how time goes by. He's 18 in March, and Luke Littler's up there at 16. Clicked up 250,000 euro. I looked over at Aaron for all he's achieved, and he looked at me, and he says, "Dad, why are you looking at me like you hate me?" And of course I don't. But I was thinking, get off your bum, get a set of darts or a snooker cue or something, will you?
I know.
The thick of it, as far as I know, Capaldi's second Apple show. Thanks, Fionnuala. Thankfully, won't fool me. Finally got to see Killers of the Flower Moon last Sunday on Apple TV. I think best supporting role should go to anyone's derriere, as it took me longer with intermissions to get fresh air through it, although enjoyable yarn, bit too drawn out. 2 hours was long enough, but short. Scorsese is usually not in the same sentence. I believe there's a remake of Mean Girls. Well done.
It's a musical, though.
Done Footloose. Okay. But if you're looking for classic films tonight, Footloose and Mean Girls, they're both on Channel 4 from 7 tonight. Enjoy.
Excellent.
You can't put a foot wrong tonight. No name on that, but I think we all suspect that might be Kevin.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's great. Great. Yeah, brilliant.
Maybe Kevin will come in one of these days if one of you is unavailable.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. I enjoy reading his text. He's probably a dose. No, I'm only joking, Kevin. I'm only joking, Kevin, if you're a
and that's
for it,
the sort of treatment you can get if you come in live as well, as I can attest.
I actually think it'd be interesting, Kevin. We'll see.
I think so too. I would think so too, yeah.
Good TV.
Right, The Beekeeper in the cinema.
Yes.
Do you want to leave this next week or can you bang
I'll
it
give
out?
It a quick,
can you bang
it
out in
I'll
2 minutes?
I'll bang it a quick one if you want, yeah. Internet scammers steal the life savings of Jason Statham's friend and he is really annoyed. And you're thinking, is he going to write some strongly worded letters to get the money back?
No.
No. He goes off and he kicks ass and it's brilliant. It's an action film. It's Jason Statham. I'm ignoring Fallulah's sideways glances. She joined me for this at the weekend. It is a great...
Does he owe you a couple of hours?
Yes.
No, it's an enjoyable movie. It's
a great movie.
What Jason Statham is. But the thing I just have questioned the whole time is... Like, I started off about half an hour in, I turned to him and I said to him, a child wrote this movie. And then by the time we got to the end of it, I said, a not even intelligent child wrote this movie.
When Jason Statham single-handedly beat the 8 bad guys or when he took on the 8 SWAT team members or when he took on the 8 cops?
The fighting is exactly what you want. It's absolutely
it's so good.
It's amazing and there's a load of blood and guts and everybody dies the way they should die and the whole thing.
It's funny.
But the thing
it's
is like, how hard is it to get somebody that can actually write a little bit of dialogue?
But I don't think you're going to give Jason too much dialogue.
No.
I think you go with what he's good at.
Yeah. And some of the reviewers have said this works where he doesn't
I'm concerned
say a lot.
For Jeremy. I think we should do a whip. Jeremy clearly needs a few pounds.
The guy who,
why else would he be in this movie?
The guy who directed this directed things like Fury, the tank war movie from years ago, and he directed Suicide Squad.
He's got a bit of a back catalogue there.
He wrote, he was one of the three writers on the first Fast and Furious. So he has got his chops. He knows how to do an action movie. Critics have embraced this. It's got 60-70% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Sorry,
it's got 94% from the audience. And I
know. Got 6%.
But your main comment on it after it was is that, I mean, it's even better than Meg. Like, come on.
I thought it was better than Meg.
I just want to say thanks, Michael, for calling up as always. Thanks, Michael. Thanks, Fanula. Great to have you.
Great fun.
Great to have
great
you
fun.
On the show. That's where we have to leave it on the 9 till noon show for this week. Thank you so much to all of you for listening and taking part in the show and those that choose to watch it. It's great, as I say, to have you all on board. And we'll be back to do it all again on Monday from 9. Have a wonderful weekend, will you?